Hi everyone, welcome to our morning devotions. Today's passage is Hebrews chapter 4. Let me read this chapter for us and then I'll share some thoughts on this passage. This is Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest. As he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath day for the people, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. In yesterday's passage, we talked about the rest that is available to all who put and maintain their faith in Christ. In particular, yesterday, I ended up talking about chapter 3, verse 13. To read that again, it says, but exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. The importance of exhorting one another to remain faithful to Christ and not allow the deceitfulness of sin to take away the rest that awaits all those who hold firm in the faith. In today's chapter, the writer of Hebrews continues to expound on what he has already said about rest. He continues to urge the reader to hold on to the faith while the promise of entering God's rest still stands. He urges us to listen and obey God. He assures us in verses 8 through 10 that the rest we see in the time of Joshua, as in the rest that was in the form of the promised land of Canaan, isn't the true rest that awaits those who remain faithful. Rather, there remains a real Sabbath rest for the people of God, a day when we will rest securely and eternally in the presence of our God. Therefore, as it says in verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. And then you get to verse 12, and the writer is now talking about the Word of God. I don't know about you, but when I read this, I kind of did a double take. I'm quite familiar with Hebrews 4:12. It's one of the more common verses people will reference when talking about the power and the authority of Scripture. But if I'm completely honest with you, I hadn't really thought too deeply about the context we find this verse. How does everything that was said before this verse, all that stuff about the rest that awaits all who hold fast to the faith, tie into verse 12? Well, let me just give a thesis statement before I explain. You see, there is no faith in God, and therefore no true rest in God, until there is a conviction of sin. Let me say that again. There is no faith in God, and therefore no true rest in God, until there is a conviction of sin. And what the Word of God does is it exposes our sin. It makes us aware of our need for Christ. Now let me explain this. The Bible makes very clear that none of us is righteous. all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the only way we can be free of the grip of sin, the consequences of sin, which is death, is to first be convicted of sin, to recognize and acknowledge its hold on us, and then from there to confess our sin, to turn away from it and to turn to God. Each of us, if you consider yourself a Christian, a follower of Jesus, then you've gone through this process. But the thing is, I don't know if you've ever thought about this consciously, but this process of being convicted of your sin, that wasn't just something you came up with on your own. You didn't just realize one day that you have sinned and therefore fallen short of God's glory. That conviction was the work of God. It was God bringing to light your thoughts and intentions, exposing your true inner nature, that is, to yourself. God already knew all of that, of course. He knows all things. You know, as it says in verse 13, no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. But God knows. In fact, he was the one who did this in your life. And he is the one who continues to do it in the lives of many each day. And he does this in part through his word. The word of God isn't simply a book of lessons. It's not just wise teachings and sayings. It's not just stories to gain morals from. It's the authority by which we live and the way by which we can come to know God. It's living and active, meaning the word of God speaks to us clearly and directly today. And it is also the truth, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to expose the lies, expose the things that are guiding us and directing us in the wrong way, and point us instead to truth. And it's because of this that through the word of God, we're convicted of sin. We come to know and recognize our need for Jesus and ultimately enter into God's true Sabbath rest. Now, I don't know what each of your relationship with the Bible is like. I would imagine that if you're listening to this, you at least want to hold the word of God close, that you at least know that it's something that you should be doing. You know, you should be reading it. You should be keeping it with you. But I can also imagine that for at least some of us listening today, that gap that exists between what you know your approach to the Bible should be and what it actually is, what you know, what reality is quite large. And on the one hand, it's okay to recognize that. My encouragement for you today is to keep reading the Word, and as you do so, to keep listening for the voice of God as you abide in Him and meditate on what He says. Keep in mind, as I'm saying all of this about God's Word, I'm not saying that we need to worship the Bible. That's something known as bibliolatry, and that's not what we're supposed to do. We must certainly revere and love the Word of God, but not for the Word itself, but because it directs us to Jesus, the one we're actually supposed to worship and love. As we read and know the Word of God more and more, we'll come to know and love Jesus more and more. And so for that reason, let's commit to reading the Word and letting God increasingly form and shape us through His Word. Again, the fact that you're listening to this and joining in our reading plan is already a good sign, but let's continue on in this journey and learn to enter more and more deeply into the rest found only in our God as His truth continues to expose our hearts and points us to Him instead. But let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. We know that it's by your word that we have come to know you, and that we can continue to know you more and more. It's by your word that we live our lives, that we can live lives of wisdom, of goodness, and live, Lord, in a way that leads to true life and rest that's only found in you. And so, God, I pray that you would help us, that in our reading that it wouldn't just be about gaining information or knowledge, adding to the storehouse of information that we have in our minds, but help us to be truly formed and shaped. This idea, God, of everything being exposed, you know, the Word of God just cutting into our lives, it doesn't sound comfortable necessarily. Maybe the things that we see and are exposed may lead us to feel vulnerable. But Lord, we know that in the end, this is for our good, that this will lead us closer to you and into that rest. And so, Lord, we want to be open to what your word says. We want to allow your word to work in us, for you to work in us through your word. And so, Lord, I pray, especially even as we're going through this reading plan together as a church, we ask that you would continue to speak to us day after day, Lord. We are open to you, God. Continue to speak to us today as we keep meditating on your words, Lord. So, God, we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.